once used. But she held hers folded in her lap and ran the tip of her fingers over it lightly, as though reading something by touch. She muttered continuously in Yuan Bao, but I couldn't follow her, even when I got up close. She jumped, looked around wildly, apparently sensing me. There are elements of ancestor worship connected with Yuan Bao beliefs. Ghosts are certainly very real to them. Goda started asking the air questions. She seemed to think I was either the spirit of her mother Hong Tre or of her grandfather Cao Qi, spoken of as a necromancer in family oral histories Sari had related to me. When he got mentioned at all, it was with mild embarrassment. We all have those crooked limbs in our family trees. A necromancer who could raise his own shade would make for a particularly gnarly branch. I didn't pay much attention. I wanted to see if they'd done something with Uncle Doge. They must have collected him and gone to work getting him healed up. I couldn't find Uncle. I did find a crude sign scratched on a weathered fragment of board in charcoal in One Eye's crude lettering, "Kid, it's a trap." Oh my. I wanted to shake the little shit awake and ask him what that meant. I tried. Maybe I gave him bad dreams. He did groan and toss, but he didn't do anything else. I raged. What if it was true? How could it be, and who? Catcher. Was that why she seemed happy? Or Kina? Did the goddess not want us running loose in the world, threatening to bring on the Year of the Skulls? But she had interceded before to make sure we stayed in the game. But it wasn't Kina who had filled the minds of an entire nation with an overwhelming, irrational fear of the company. I was confused. I tried to shake One Eye again. I had no more luck this time. Still raging, I zipped outside and started southward, and ran into a wall of death stench so powerful I reeled away. Kina, up very close. I caught glimpses of slick ebony skin, a chest with lots of breasts, half a dozen arms paddling the air like the legs of an overturned bug. I got an indistinct impression that she was trying to pull herself through the veil between my ghost world and hers. She seemed driven to deliver an important message. Or maybe she just wanted to jump over and gobble me up. I didn't learn which. I couldn't stay there. She brought too much fear with her. I fled. No plan. No thought at all. I just went, fast and frenzied. I found myself in the mountains north of Kialune, running away from the plane with my back toward an unseen destination. From out here, the stars of the noose were invisible. No stars could be seen at all. The overcast masked them. I turned to see where I was headed. The sparkle of campfires away to my left caught my attention. I directed my flight that way. Whoever was over there would be human. I needed to be close to something human. They were the bunch Croker had sent after my horse. I recognized many of the restless men. Fear was an animate presence in their camp, and a big one. I got in among them, tried to draw warmth and comfort while I steeled myself for another attempt to get back to my flesh. Nobody sensed my presence. Once I felt ready, I left the circle of light and headed southward slowly, trying hard to sense Kina before Kina sensed me. Would she try to ambush me again? Who knows? I ran into